Hello. Yes, the 99% Healthy Podcast.
He literally forgot what it was called before we went live. He forgot.
I know.
I forget what it's called.
Can you get closer to your mic, please? You're just a little too far away.
Sure. Gosh, you're so bossy.
There you go.
So
I did. I was doing the mic check, and then I was like,
December.
Oh yeah, the what's this thing called?
It's December. Like, we all forgot how to be healthy because like Christmas is next week, and we've all been stuffing our faces with cookies and eggnog. Maybe. Is that why you forgot?
Maybe. It's possible.
Are you still doing healthy things?
Sure.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
Well, I mean, we're making good food choices.
Well, by healthy, I mean making cookies three times a week.
Oh, so this is you being frustrated with the cookies in the house.
So I'm a little frustrated with the cookies in the house, yeah. And listen, they're delicious.
I am not forcing you to eat any cookies. Okay. It's all voluntary for you.
So in our last episode, did we drop the cookie recipe, the chocolate chip cookie recipe that you were cooking?
Yes.
Okay, so he's made that like six times since the
last episode. That's not true. Three.
And so yesterday he made these banging sugar cookies with like a lemon frosting and sprinkles on them. And I was a little nervous. What are you doing?
I'm moving the microphone closer because you're not close.
He's got real mic. You guys
get close.
See, he's
make
got
love
some
to that thing.
Microphone issues
there you go.
Happening.
Get okay. in there.
So he made these sugar cookies that actually is my aunt's recipe that she's been making my whole life. She always showed up with a big tub of these sugar cookies, but they always were like cutouts, you know, like with cookie cutters. And I expected that's what he was going to be doing. And he didn't. He just like took his little cookie dough baller thing and plopped them on the pan, and they're like bite size and they're amazing. So maybe we should share that recipe. Actually, I don't know if I'm allowed to share that recipe because that's my aunt's recipe.
Oh, I think you can share it. I'm sure it'll be good.
They're the best sugar cookies ever. Any sugar cookie fans out there? I love them. I love the fans, but I also love the cookies. So it's cookie time, guys. It's Christmas. Christmas is 8 days away. And we are busy. We're busy. What kind of stuff are we? I'm getting ready to go to a party. I want to talk about this, actually. I'm getting ready to go to a party in about an hour, and I'm not ready at all. I'm in sweatpants and haven't done anything. But this was a discussion that Bobby and I had in the car. We spent a lot of time in the car during band season, and we would have discussions, and we would say, this would make a great topic for the podcast. And so one of the topics that was on my list was about going to a party. Now, this very thing happened to us just recently. We went to a friend's a baby shower at a friend's house.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
And okay, it was fun.
This is the when do you show up for the party?
Yes. When do you show up for the party? So I am a fashionably late person. I don't like to show up right when the party starts.
No. Let's back the trolley up here. You are not a fashionably late. Okay. You are a petrified of being early person.
Okay, that's fair.
Yes.
So I don't want to be the first person there.
Okay. You don't want to be the first person there, but when you go to the excessive efforts to not be the first person there, you very often made yourself the last person
now,
there.
Now, okay. Let's clarify. If it's a surprise party,
I
will make every effort to be there on time. I think that's the right thing to do. It's respectful.
Right.
But if it's a party like the one I'm going to tonight that starts at 7, but it's...
You should be there within 15 minutes of the start time, unequivocally.
Like 15 minutes either way. So between 6:45 and 7:15.
I would say no more than 5 minutes early, but you should not be more than 15 minutes late.
Let me tell you what happened the last party that we went to. So Bobby was insisting that we get there early. It was a ways away, maybe a 25 minute drive.
We arrived on time.
We sat in the car for 10 minutes.
No, we did not.
In the driveway.
We did not.
Yes, we did. And he actually...
Fake news.
Yes, we
fake
did.
News.
Don't believe him.
Fake news.
And also, at one point in the drive, he said, do you want to pull over on the side of the road and wait? Because we're going to be early for this party. And so we arrived early. We got there. We sat in the car. And he was like, okay, should we get out now? And I was like, okay, let's get out now. Clearly, nobody else was at this party yet. Nobody.
Okay.
And we got there and we were the first ones there. And it was that awkward, like, you're
to
the
you.
Only one there because, like, they're still setting up. And you're like, oh, should I help them
set
up?
It was set up.
Like, but you feel like
the old guys were already sitting down having a beverage.
But But I don't know, as maybe it's as a female, I feel like I need to jump in the kitchen and like, can I help you set up? Can I do this? And then it puts them in an awkward position because then they're like, well, maybe they want it done their way and they don't really have anything for me to do, but they feel like they know that
I
want.
It's not a very complicated thing. All you can do is how can I help if you want to do that?
Okay. And I did. But it was like awkward. We didn't know what door to go to because nobody was there yet. So you didn't like see anybody. So we got to the front door and they were like, hey, Bobby's here. And so it was just interesting. So I would love to know, audience, dear listeners, loyal listeners, are you an early arriver? Are you a late arriver? Now, I'm not saying to be like obnoxiously. I'm not like an obnoxious, fashionably late.
You
like,
are sometimes.
I am not.
Sometimes
like,
you are.
Hey, I'm here. Look at me. That's not me. I just kind of show up and I blend in with the crowd.
Tell me, give me an example. There's times where you'll manufacture your own narrative to justify the time you want to show up somewhere.
Tell me more about that.
So, like, I remember distinctly there was a pool party we were supposed to go to, and it was, like, come after 3, and you didn't want to show up till, like, 5, and the party was half over.
Okay, I'll give you that. That did happen.
Oh, now let's just see how these tables turn. I love it.
That did happen. I'm not going to lie.
I know it happened.
And you made sure that you told me about it.
Every single time that you want to be late for something.
Okay. I think there's a difference. Now, if you're meeting somebody for a meal or you have a reservation, yes, you need to show up on time. Absolutely. But if it's an event that's ongoing, I don't feel like it's wrong to show up late or to show up past the start time.
There's a difference between fashionably late and obnoxiously late.
Okay. Let me throw another one at you.
Wait. I don't think I heard your definition. What's your definition of fashionably late?
Oh, I don't recall you asking me.
So now
what is my definition of fashionably late? Within 30 minutes of the party starting.
Ooh, so now we're getting controversial.
Okay.
Is 30 minutes too late?
It depends on how long the party is.
Right. But I do believe that you are correct that it does depend on the type of party,
correct.
Right? Right? Because if you're thinking about fashionably late, like if you're thinking of like, oh, it's a youthful aged house party, right? Fashionably late is anytime you choose to show up.
Right.
Right. But if you're going to a dinner party,
right.
A celebration party,
do you remember?
A holiday party, your arrival should be within some reasonable time frame.
Do you remember that party we went to at Christmas time when the kids were real little? We were invited to a house. It wasn't a house party. It was a dinner party.
Oh,
and they told
yes,
us to show up.
Dinner party.
So it was Christmas time. Actually, I think it was like the week between Christmas and New Year's, right?
We should tell this story.
We should tell this story. This is actually a really good story. Okay. And if I had sponsors, this is where I would put a commercial right now. Because I would want to
make the tease for this story.
This is actually a really good story.
Yeah, because we don't know the one person anymore, and the other person's a total asshole, so we couldn't care less.
Watch your mouth.
I'll bleep it out maybe.
Okay,
yeah, we got to tell this whole story. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
Okay, I'll start, I guess. So, and you can interrupt
preschool
me.
Preschool age kids.
Yes, preschool. So our twins were in preschool, so they were 3 or 4 years old.
Oh my God, this story's 14 years old.
Yeah.
13 years old?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow.
They're 15 now, going to be 16. So our twins were in preschool and it was Christmas time. We got invited between the holidays to a dinner party. One of the parents from the kids' preschool had invited us.
Well, let's be specific. The mom invited
you.
This is important.
The mom invited me. Her daughter was good friends with our daughter. They had been hanging out a lot in school.
Right.
And so she had invited us to dinner. And so.
Right. And the mom's really nice.
Very sweet person. Invited us over for dinner. And she told us to come early. Now, it was still light out when we got there. And it was December. So we must have gotten there at like 5 o'clock.
5-ish. I think you were told like 5.
And I felt like an idiot. Do you know why? Because I showed up with like all of our like leftover Christmas cookies. Because like I didn't want to go out and buy a dessert.
It was after Christmas. It was after Christmas.
Okay, go ahead. You talk.
Okay. So yeah, this is a party where like you were invited and it was with the kids.
Yeah. And you also were invited.
Well, I was invited. Right. So we have the kids, right? So you think, okay, little kids, they're gonna run around and the parents hang out. This was not the arrival situation.
No.
So let's set the scene on the arrival situation. So we're pulling into a very, very nice, well-kept, very old home.
Yeah.
Like this home
beautiful.
Is probably an 1800s mm-hmm. home.
Beautiful property,
beautiful,
very well-kept. Yeah.
Yeah. you know, traditional, maybe I say Victorian style. There was a front parlor sitting room.
And it was decorated as if it was like in the time.
Yeah,
so the furniture time. And the time, like all the pieces, there was fancy artwork on the wall.
Period,
I remember. I felt like I was in
decor,
a museum.
Period decor. And then I don't know if he was downstairs or came downstairs.
Yes, yes.
But upon our entrance and hellos and pleasantries with the mom that had invited us, her husband strolled in wearing,
a bathrobe. He was wearing a bathrobe.
Very close to Hugh Hefner lounge
wear. A bathrobe and slippers. And he came down the steps to greet us. Welcome to our home. And as it, like, I think he
was friendly, but
he was friendly. He should have had like a cigar in his mouth. It was so awkward. And we were like, okay, where are the rest of the people?
Because we were not expecting this on the entry.
Right.
Yes.
So meanwhile, it's dinner party.
And I can tell you, we were definitely not early for this one. You know, we were in that 15-minute window of arrival.
So meanwhile, it's 5. It's like 5:30, whatever. And, you know, the kids start playing. And nobody else is there. And I'm trying to pick up context clues. Like, who else is coming to this thing? Are we the only ones that are going to be here? No food is cooked. There was not even a sign that there was going to be food. There was no snacks.
Oh, I forgot about that part. That's right. Because then you ended up hanging out with.
And I was so hungry. And I remember being so hungry. And I just wanted to eat. But there was not even any food. And so it was very strange. So maybe within 2 hours, other couples start showing up.
Wait, pause, because you kind of just like jumped over a giant time gap there.
Okay, go ahead.
That's important because
what happened
during that 2 hours?
I'm pouring my water. If you hear,
that's fine. So like during that 2 hours, so there's, you know, we're hanging out, and I think I'm hanging out mostly in the family room parlor area. You at some point in time go back with the mom into the kitchen, and you do a little. You're either hanging out with her while she's prepping dinner, or talking with her. And then the husband strolls down the stairs, like dressed finally at some point in time.
Because his friends started to arrive.
I think he might have gotten downstairs just slightly before the friends arrived, or it was simultaneous, whatever that was. So then, yeah, so this like unexpected time period passes. Now,
it was
mind
like
you,
2 hours.
Now, mind you, we have 3 kids
that are like 4 and 6.
Yeah, well, so
the twins were 4.
Twins were 4.
Robert was 6.
And yes, and Robert would be
6. Or maybe they were 3 and 5, whatever they were.
3 and 5,
young.
4 and 6.
Yeah.
Yes,
and they're hungry too.
Because the twins would not have turned 5 yet.
Okay.
Anyway.
They're hungry too.
Yeah. So it's like,
This couple, they had two kids. They had two girls who were similar ages. No, I think they had one that was our twins' age and one that was younger.
Oh, was it?
Okay, continue.
Oh, anyway.
What's happening while I'm talking to her? What are you guys doing?
Oh, so I'm just kind of like hanging out, and the kids are playing, and I think they're all playing nicely. There wasn't any issues there. I don't remember that part of it. And then the other friends started showing up. And
none of them have kids.
No kids.
None of them have kids.
No kids.
They are established business people. Career people, not stay-at-home moms like I was, not like they were clearly not the type of people that we expected to be having dinner with
right.
that night.
And they clearly were not her friends either.
No.
They were his friends.
Yes.
And then
it was so awkward. If you like the eye shifting that happened that night, like I think our marriage is stronger because
of it. The nonverbal communication.
It was the most awkward thing. So dinner happens, right? Dinner happens around 8 o'clock.
She cooks dinner.
She cooks dinner.
Yeah, dinner happens.
And all he does the whole time she's cooking dinner is he talks about what a fantastic lasagna she makes. She makes such a great lasagna. You're never going to eat anything like this ever again in your life. And he's pouring our wine and he's talking about wine and he's all night talking about the best wine and the best.
Oh, but you have to like spin it. Like this guy couldn't help but talk about just, I don't know, like half BS, half
all the fancy, all the
fancy
famous
shit.
People, the famous people that he knew.
I didn't remember that part.
All of the encounters that he had in airports with famous people.
After dinner, he forces a single malt scotch on me.
Well, that was the second part of it.
I haven't drank a drink of scotch in my life.
After dinner, we retreat to the parlor.
Why is there malt in my scotch?
And and he should have just been wearing a robe again. And he starts to give us after dinner drinks, which is like, we have toddlers. Like, this is, we're usually in bed by this time because now it's like 10 o'clock at night because the dinner was like seven courses.
I don't know if it was quite 10 o'clock yet, but it was late. It was definitely late. It was definitely witching hour for kids.
And we had nothing in common with these people. Nothing. Like, it was the most awkward.
Well, I don't know if we would just like join them together because I thought, you know, still to this day, we always said she was like this very normal, reasonable person.
I think we
had commonality with her, but we did discuss afterwards. We think like,
okay, hold on. I'm getting there.
Okay.
Okay. So meanwhile, we're having drinks in the parlor and it's, you know, getting to be late and some of the friends are starting to leave and we're still sitting there and like, I remember just looking over, my one kid, Alex, was like in, like curled up in the corner sleeping. And we like couldn't leave. I don't know why couldn't leave.
We were struggling to get
out. We couldn't exit. For some reason, every time we tried to leave, there was like a new conversation and I felt like we were trapped. And I started falling asleep.
I think we were trying to gather our objects. Were we trying to gather things up?
I'm not sure. I felt like we were prisoners. So we finally left. We got the kids out of there. It was close to midnight. And we sat in the car.
Was it that late?
It was late. We sat in the car and we looked at each other before we even pulled out of the driveway. And I said, I think we were just there so that our kids could entertain their kids.
You did say that.
Yeah.
That was like your first instinct.
Yeah.
I don't think I don't think it's as linear as that. I think that there was this party and she wanted somebody of her own.
Like a friend to hang out with.
Right. Her own type of person to be there because, you know, I can imagine her being lonely in that situation. And we're saying this like in a very negative tone because they ended up getting divorced years later.
We
found out like there was a shit show marriage, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was actually really a sad situation. But you know what? I feel like we were stronger as a couple after that night because we had a lot of nonverbal communication happening during the night.
The moral of the story is if you get invited to a dinner party and you're not quite sure, you know, let me just make the suggestion. Don't make assumptions. It's okay to ask probing questions. Oh, what time will other guests be arriving? Who else is coming? When do you think you'll be serving dinner?
Yeah.
Do I have to bring something for my kids? You know, you probably don't even care, but you know what? Just ask the questions anyway.
Clearly we like were not socialized enough to like even think. And you know what else? Social media.
We were rookies, right?
There was no social media back then either.
And this was like, you know, the iPhone 3G was probably out. It was like the second iPhone.
I don't even know if I had an iPhone yet. So like I wasn't on Facebook. It wasn't like we had all these outlets where like I could have like checked her out and seen who her friends were and like maybe had a little bit of better idea of where I was going. Because I remember when we pulled in, we were like, is this their house? Like it. So I feel like it was a whole different like. It's like a time warp since then. So there's a lot, you have a lot more information at your fingertips now when you're invited to a party than, you know, how many times I've gone to parties before. I'll be honest. I've gone to parties where I've met people and I'll be like, hey, we should be friends on Facebook. And I'll pull out my phone and I'll send you know, that didn't happen back then. Not that I wouldn't want to be friends with any of those people at that party. Anyway,
they're probably nice people, but they were just not in the same social circles, life circle
right.
that we were at the time.
We were young.
Our kids were young.
And you know, they were a little older than, at least he was older than us. And he was appreciated a lot more sophisticated stuff in life than we did. But you know what? It was a lesson for us.
It was a fun story. Experience, you know, it's just
the scotch story. Like wasn't he talking about like the artwork on his wall?
I don't remember. I can honestly tell you that, you know, by the time dinner happened, my sensory overload was through the roof.
Yeah.
And there's very little that I can remember.
It was a very strange event, but we're here to tell the story.
Yeah.
So
anyway, so if you do show up fashionably late, it still could be a shit show. You never know.
And so we're still married, but they're not. So,
that was funny.
So, okay. So that was a topic that I wanted to talk about, was showing up early or late for a party. And now that we just spent all that time talking, I need to leave for this party in a half an hour. So we've got to get through this.
Well, technically, no. How far is the party away from here?
It's about 15 minutes.
15 minutes. Okay. So there's a 7 o'clock start time for the party, which means you have to leave at 6:45.
Which means I don't really need to get there until 7:15.
Oh, well. Okay.
See,
you're already debating your time scale.
But you know what? I can
push it back. We got a couple minutes.
I don't plan on wearing any makeup.
Yes, you do.
My hair is washed. So it'll be great.
Lies. You're going to put makeup on. You know it.
It'll be great. It'll be great. Okay, so why aren't you going to this party with me? Because if he was going to this party with me, we would not be recording this podcast now. Because he would be on a strict... He would have me on a timeline. Let's talk about that for a second. He sometimes gives me...
And I got to pick up our daughter who's out with friends.
Okay. He sometimes gives me a different time to be somewhere.
Michelle time.
Michelle time.
Oh, we forgot about Michelle time.
If in his mind we need to be somewhere, he will sometimes skew the time scale so that I will be ready when he wants me to be ready, even though it's 15 minutes earlier than I need to be ready.
There's a lot of times where this has to be done. A lot of times. Like, this is not a,
but I'm on
just
to
make
him.
Sure you tell I'm her, on... oh, no, you're not on to me at all. You're not on to me at all.
So you think you still pull one over on me sometimes?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like the time that we just went to that party.
No. I'm talking about a lot of other timely based things. Like I will, like depending upon what the activity is and where we're going, is I will adjust the narrative to make sure that we'll be there in a timely manner, that we won't get Michelle timed.
Okay.
Yes. But this is a derivation of something we used to do with my friends, my good friend Jeff.
I remember.
My good friend Jeff was always a little tardy for events when we were in high school. So we'd always have to tell him at least 15 minutes earlier. Like after school, like even if we were going to go like just something simple as like to the movies, and the movie was going to be like a 6 o'clock movie or 7 o'clock movie, we would have to tell him it's a 6:45 movie and that we were going to pick him up. You know, like we would say we're going to be there. Like we tell them 10 minutes earlier than reality, just so we'd be there in a timely manner. So I do that with you.
You do that with me, but I'm on to it.
Like, are you? So if we're going to go to a band competition.
Sometimes you do it and sometimes you don't.
I'll do some math and I'll be like, well, we really should leave around 5:30 for this competition, but I'm sure there will be 6 other things that will delay us. So I better tell Michelle 4:45.
I live my life on my own time scale. How about the time that we were sitting in the parking lot charging the car, and the car was, you had gone into the convenience store and gotten your snack and gone to the bathroom and whatever, and then you came out and the car was all charged and you're ready to go. I have to go to the bathroom. And you were like, nope, sorry, we're leaving. Put your seatbelt back on. Right. This is how I roll, guys. This is how I roll.
That was.
I'm like a toddler.
EV charging, poor etiquette.
I'm a toddler. I don't have to go potty until I have to go
potty.
We
arrived somewhere, and then everyone had gone to the potty. It was a sheets. Everyone had gotten snacks, right? And then we got in the car, and then the car's ready to go. I'm unplugging the car, and Michelle goes, oh, I need to go in. I need to do this.
You were
I need
like,
to do that.
Nope.
I'm like, no, no. Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was funny.
I love that we can talk candidly about our
personality traits. You got personality traits.
And I appreciate that about you. I do.
You have good traits.
And so do you.
Yeah.
This is why we do this. So
I'm very conscious of punctuality because it's just it's a structure to me. It's like, oh, okay, so if I need to be there at this time, then I have to depart at this time, which means I have to be ready by this time.
And you were not in the military. And, usually I see this a lot.
And I need to be 5 minutes ahead of that just in case.
It's usually people that are, you know, come from a military background, or maybe even, you know, people that work in an industry, maybe even the medical industry, where you need to be on time for things.
Yeah, I guess.
And I will be the first person to complain when somebody is late for an event or when somebody says they're going to come pick me up and they're late. I think that is so rude. I think it's so rude.
But they're just being factually late.
But no, there's a difference.
Oh, now there's a difference.
There's a difference.
There's a difference. Okay.
If you tell somebody you're going to be somewhere at a time, you should be there. But if a party is happening and there are multiple guests, it's okay to be fashionably late. I don't know.
Okay. I hear you.
Anybody agree? Is anybody hearing me?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, I think you're going to spur a lot of conversations between some other partners because this has got to be one of those things where, you know, like there's two stereotypes, right? Girls are always late because they're spending an extra 10 minutes putting their face on. And guys, oh, shoot, what was the one for the guys? It just left my mind. What was I going to say about the guys?
No, I saw a funny T-shirt yesterday that said, sorry, I'm late. My husband had to poop. That's why guys are late.
I don't think so.
Every day our kids leave for school, and every day Alex says, wait, I have to go to the bathroom. Like literally as they're getting in the car. So maybe that's what it is. Guys have to poop. Ladies have to put on their face. Yeah. What did your mom call it? Getting done. I got to go get done.
I didn't. Be ready.
I never heard that.
Until get ready or get done. Get done. Right.
My mom used to say, put my face on.
Yeah.
Which creeped me out.
Ah, yeah.
Used to creep me out. That's funny. So the holidays are here. So cookies, I'm not going to be bashful about this. I am ready for a reset. We never discussed your reset.
We did not?
We did not discuss your reset. We hadn't picked back up with the podcast at that time. So
I'm pretty sure we did.
Did we? We'll have to go back and listen.
I think we did. Okay, I'm pretty sure we covered the
podcast. If you're not familiar, listeners, to reset. Reset is this orange box. It's amazing. I'm going to give it a little commercial real quick. It's a 3-day nutritionally supported fast that is designed to reset your metabolism. Hello, who's looking for that after all the cookies I've been eating? I am. I have been doing this orange box system 3 days a month ever since June, every month. And I have just loved what it's been doing for me. And so the time has come that we're going to be doing another one. I'm actually going to do one next week, but I'm actually going to do another one in January as well. I need something between the holidays, between Thanksgiving and Christmas. There's been just too much munching happening. So I'm ready. Are you ready to do another one?
Yeah, in January.
In January.
When the holidays are over.
Tell us your favorite part about the reset. What did you like about it?
I liked how it's kind of structured. It serves the times where I need, you know, supplements, support, so I'm not like crazy hungry. Lean's very good. I like the pack of drinks.
Yeah.
So what did it come with? It came with a hydrate and a...
You know why you're remembering that we talked about this? Because we did do a live video on my Facebook page, which I should actually link onto the website or maybe put in the show notes. If it's still there. I don't even know if it's still there.
I don't know.
But we did a little breakdown for you on your first day, and you were so happy. You did a great job. You lost, I can't say how many pounds because I can only say what our studies support, but you lost more weight than average.
You were hungry. Oh, yeah, I was definitely a little hungry, but I chose a starting point where it was 3 good days to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely ready to be done at the end of it, so I was a little grumpy the last, half day, if you will. But, yeah, so are you sure we didn't talk about it on here?
I'm pretty sure we didn't talk about it on here.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to do another one with you. I love the simplicity of it. It's literally rinse and repeat. It's just add water to all of the products in the box. There's, I think it's 7 or 8 products that you get to have all throughout the day, consisting of our energy drink. There's a protein shake in there. There's some collagen soups, 2 collagen soups, and an awesome drink that you drink at night. That's designed to, just detox your liver and your kidneys. So it's just a really great experience all around, and people are loving it. So I'm excited to do it in January. And if you are listening and you're interested in getting in on this, please send us a message at 99%healthy.com and ask me for the details, because there's some really good incentives happening right now, and we can hook you up with the best price also going into the new year. So I'm excited. New Year's resolutions are coming. But what I love most...
Good time to get hooked up on that.
Yeah. What I love most about the new year and about this company that I support also is that New Year's resolutions actually don't work. We're probably going to talk about this in our next episode. New Year's resolutions don't work. They don't. Why are you looking at me like that?
Ah, but they got to be a starting point.
Well, you have to make a goal, but you also have to be conscious of the small steps.
Oh, we should talk about that next week.
And the small wins. We're definitely going to talk about that next week. But there was one other thing I promised we were going to talk about.
Oh, we did?
Yeah. In our last episode, we were supposed to talk about chocolate chip cookies because somebody messaged me and told me that we were supposed to talk about chocolate chip cookies, but I thought we talked about it last week.
Yeah. So they're in the show notes and they're delicious.
The recipe, you got to make them. They're so good. I can't. Actually, he made them real big the first time, and then the second time he said he made them smaller. So they're like that Entenmann's cookie size. And he said he made them smaller because I was complaining that they were too big. And then yesterday I said, well, now the small one. Now I just eat 3 of the small ones. So it really doesn't matter. But they're so good.
Well, they weren't gigantic cookies. They were just a larger cookie.
Yeah.
A size cookie you would get at a regular store.
Yeah, yeah. But not a crumble cookie. Those things are...
Well, they're thicker. They got a lot of other stuff going on there.
Yeah, yeah. So I wanted to talk... Somebody's coming down.
I don't know.
One of the kids is up there. I wanted to talk really quick about what happens when you Get Your Gut Healthy. And I'm going to put a link, because we don't have time to talk about it right now, but I'm going to put a link in the show notes about how your body, you actually have taste buds in your digestive system. Did you know that? In your intestines.
Yes, because you've told me.
Yeah, okay. You have taste buds. Your taste buds are more than what's just on your tongue and at the start of digestion when you chew food. By the way, you might not know this. Did you know, you grew up knowing that, how many tastes are there?
200.
No. What?
I don't know. You said how many there tastes are.
How many tastes? Like there's sweet.
Oh, sweet, sour, savory.
Salty.
Salty.
Okay. Did you know that there is a taste called umami? Have you heard of this?
No, that's new to me.
Umami? I'll have to Google it again. I had it up on my computer for the longest time. But it is the taste of savory is basically what it is when you said savory.
Oh, okay.
That savory flavor. There's no way to describe it. It's a Japanese word. I will put a link in the show notes about it so you guys can learn more about it. But it's really cool. I always grew up thinking there was sweet, salty, and sour. That was it. So now there's this new umami taste that just was discovered about maybe 2 decades ago. Check it out. Google it. It's pretty interesting. But you also have taste receptors in your gut, in the lining of your gut. And so when your gut gets healthy, and you know, huge proponent for gut health here. When your gut gets healthy, your gut tells you what it needs to eat. And so your tastes will actually change. Foods that you liked to eat in the past will no longer taste good to you. And I have experienced this personally. Have you?
Well, I've had taste changes.
Can I tell a story real quick?
Sure.
Okay. So just shortly after I started my gut health journey, we were living at the beach for that summer. And I was so excited to try my favorite ice cream, George's ice cream, on the boardwalk. Took the kids to the boardwalk that night. They all got their ice cream cones and whatever. And I got a small scoop. That's all I was in the mood for, believe it or not, because I'm an ice cream junkie. But I got a small scoop of my favorite Butterbrickle ice cream. And I love it. I look forward to it every summer. Got the scoop and, you know, got the kids taken care of. We're walking away. I'm eating the ice cream. And I'm like, this doesn't taste right. Something's off. It doesn't taste right. I went back to George's. I went to the counter. I said, excuse me, did you give me the right ice cream? I ordered Butterbrickle. This does not taste like Butterbrickle. And they're like, yeah, it's Butterbrickle. They looked at it. They're like, yeah, it's Butterbrickle. And I said, it doesn't taste the same. Did you guys change the recipe? No, ma'am, we have the same recipe for 100 years or 85 years, whatever it was. And I said, are you sure you didn't change the recipe?
This had to be devastating because you're like the ice cream lover.
I love ice cream. And I was like, you're kidding me. And they're like, we're sorry. Can we get you another flavor? And I was like, no, forget it. At this point, I was so upset. I threw it away, which, you know, is not like me at all. And I walked away and I was like, what is going on? And then I called my friend who got me started on my gut health journey. And I was telling her this story and she's like, yeah, that happens. Things that you used to love, as your gut heals, your taste buds change, your gut tract changes, your taste buds that are in your gut change. And you no longer fancy those foods anymore. They just don't taste the same to you. I see it happening a lot with my customers that come along that love soda. Soda is a big one. Candy is a big one. So keep that in mind as you go into the holidays. Pay attention to the foods that you love. And if you are on a gut health journey, pay attention to how things might taste a little different to you this year, because it is a real thing. And if you'd like to talk more about that, hit me up at 99percenthealthy@gmail.com and I can talk to you more about that as well. I love what I do. I love what I do. I love pouring into people and educating them about gut health.
You're so smart.
Oh, thank you. All right, so we got to wrap this show up because I got to get ready to go. And apparently I have to go put makeup on because you said I'm going to, but I'm not. I'm not.
Whatever.
I'm actually wearing a dress to this party that I haven't worn in like 6 years.
Nice.
I'm really excited about it. And I refuse to buy new clothes. I'm just going to shop in my closet. Why don't I even have a dress from 6 years ago?
Because you wore it once.
Yeah, I did.
You have like new and with tags in your closet.
This is a true story.
I mean, shopping in your closet is no different than going to Plato's Closet or TJ Maxx in the same day.
This is true. I try to get multiple wears out of stuff. I'm getting better at it. I'm trying to do a lot less shopping because I wore the same dress to like 6 different events this past fall. And nobody said anything. And I don't care if they noticed. I loved the dress. It was very comfortable to me.
So very good.
Well. Thank you, guys.
We need to go.
We need to go. So thank you for listening, guys.
More than fashionably late.
We'll try to squeeze in one more episode before the holidays because we got to talk about all things Christmas. But if you've got comments, questions, concerns, or remarks, you can hit us up at 99percenthealthy@gmail.com, or you can go to 99percenthealthy, that's two nines, the words, percenthealthy.com, and you can click on Tell Michelle and leave me a little message there. What do you got to say, Bobby?
Yeah, and if you would like to leave us a voice message, you can visit us at anchor.fm/99percenthealthy. That's anchor.fm/99percenthealthy.
Somebody leave him a voice message.
We want a voice message. So
he's
we can like, put
he's begging for these voice messages. Leave him a voice.
No one remembers.
Christmas gift for you. Well, you know what it is? I think people are like listening while they're in the car or they're like doing things.
Well, they can do it on their phone. They can do it on their phone.
They can?
Yeah.
How do they do that?
Just go anchor.fm/99percenthealthy.
Okay.
They go to our page on anchor.fm and they can send us that voice message. So, but wait, you know what they could do? Ooh, they could send us a voice message and
your
tell
eyes
us.
Just got, he's like, ooh.
And they can tell us their definition of fashionably late.
Yes. I would love to know your definition of fashionably late. If a party starts at 7, what time are you arriving?
All right.
All right. Well, have a great week. It's crunch time, guys. Santa's coming in a week and we've got lots to do, but we're going to try to squeeze in one more episode before Christmas.
Have a great week, everyone.
Have a great week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the 99% Healthy Podcast.